Hello and welcome to Group Chat. I'm your host, Bentley, and today I'm excited to welcome to the chat Donnie Kutzbach, co-owner of Town Ballroom and Fun Time Presents, and also who is pretty much behind every concert in Buffalo. I can't even give you the list right now. Allie Brady, stand-up comedian and voice of the Buffalo Bandits. And Alexa Zappia. Alexa Zappia is an Emmy-nominated casting producer. You've seen her work on Squid Game, The Bachelor, and a whole lot more. Another one. I mean, every reality show right now.
Thank you.
Today we're talking about the challenges of early fame. There may be a reason Alexa was brought on. You know, Jonas Brothers. We're going to have some Jonas Brothers talk.
Come on, guys.
The nostalgia of being a kid again and all things Britpop. Looking over at you, Donnie. But first, what are you talking about in your group chats?
Well, I know my group chat is a lot of multiple single chats right now because Paul McCartney tickets went on sale. So a lot of very anxious friends of mine, I did secure tickets. And
yeah, I knew you. I knew you would have gotten them no matter what.
I talked about budget and I was like, it doesn't matter.
No.
It's a Beatle. I saw Ringo already this year. So it's 2/all Beatles in one year. So that was a big group chat discussion.
The organizing of getting tickets, I feel like that's been a lot of my group chats, specifically in terms of Paul McCartney.
Yes. By the time I got there was about 75,000 people ahead of me in the queue. And then I got there and most tickets were sold out, except the ones that cost a lot.
Of course.
Yeah. So, but it's great. Secured tickets, happy, and group chat is successful.
There's nothing that gives me more anxiety than getting tickets.
Oh, yeah. It's terrible.
First of all, Ticketmaster needs to figure out what's going on and another way to do this, because it's like all of a sudden you get into the queue and all mental capacity just leaves.
Yeah.
Like you're just like, wait, what? Like I'm here. Like you don't even know how to read anymore.
Yeah,
it's just everything
password.
Goes and you're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
I have deep anxiety about almost everything except for buying tickets, because it's the only thing that I can say I can send one text or one email or one phone call and get.
Yeah.
And thank goodness. Thank goodness. It's the one thing, because I'd be so freaked out if I had to go through it at this point in time.
That's the perk of the other stresses that you have to deal with in the business.
I will deal with the rest of it, just for the fact that I was able to send one text and say, hey, I need McCartney tickets. Okay. How much do you want to spend?
Gosh. Well, and just being able to have your own link, or just being able to be can I, sending money and getting the tickets.
And also, I just want to say, for the amount of phone calls, texts, emails that I get for people asking me for tickets, I do deserve to have the thing where I get to go do it.
Oh,
myself.
Yeah. It's funny, though, when you talk about Ticketmaster, because we're going to be talking about Britpop, but that was my first ticket anxiety for a while. It was Oasis in trying to get the UK tickets. And I was in the queue. I was finally there. And then I got kicked out. And I realized, because of work, I have 2 Ticketmaster accounts, because I have a work account. I have to handle them both on my phone. So they figured out, this has happened to me a couple times, that it thinks I'm a bot because I have multiple accounts and it boots me out. So I will literally sit there in the queue the whole time.
Oh my God, that's
so
awful.
We're working on that, but that's been in my group chat too.
You did get Oasis tickets though.
For Toronto.
Okay, same. Right.
I mean, I hope they're real.
You'll be fine.
There's plenty of floor seats. Yeah.
And I have to be honest here, and this is from the inside, and I do not work for Live Nation or Ticketmaster. I do not work for AEG. There's never a show that you can't get a ticket. Something like a Taylor Swift show every once in a while, but there's always tickets to be had. You just have to be patient and sometimes wait till the very, very end, and there's always tickets. And I'm not even talking about paying an exorbitant, crazy amount over the actual face value, which face values don't mean anything anymore, because especially if you're looking at Paul McCartney tickets today, dynamic pricing means there is no true face value anymore. It's just like, oh, these tickets, you thought they're going to be $400, they're going to be $800. But you can get back to the $400 if you wait and just wait till the end. But there are always tickets to be had. And that's what the Live Nations of the world do not want you to know.
You're too positive. I don't like it.
Well,
I'm a truth spitter over here.
And that's what gives me anxiety, is when Donnie tells me, just wait. I'm like, I can't wait. I need to know right now. I have those tickets. And that's what they hope you will do.
Also, Also, Bentley has been working in this business for I won't even say how many years, because she's too young and beautiful for me to even try to admit how old she could possibly be. But you know, there's always a way to get
it. I know, but there is some excitement around.
Yeah, I know.
there is.
Well, so before we get into, we're going to be getting into all of the things that we just talked about. We're going to be talking about Jonas Brothers and your ticket experience in some capacity. We were going to be talking Britpop. But what is going on right now? Some pop culture. We're going to do a little pop culture roundup. So new Superman movie out. Has anybody seen it?
I saw
you
it.
You did see it?
I sure did.
I did. You went out right away and watched it.
I did. I went and saw it the same way that I saw the first original Superman movie with Christopher Reeve. I saw it at the drive-in.
Oh my God, you did? I'm doing that this weekend.
Yeah, it was great.
Wait, that's so funny you said that. Mm-hmm. My friend's coming in from LA, and we were trying to think of like things that she doesn't have in LA. So I said the drive-in, and I'm not a Superman person at all. But the only one that we like kind of wanted potentially to see is Superman at the drive-in. So it was like a good experience.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was great. And I go to the drive-in. When my kids were younger, we went to the drive-in once or twice a week.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And now it's maybe a couple times a summer, but it's still a thing, and it's so much fun. And we went to one in Dunkirk, the Van Buren drive-in, because we were out in Angola, yeah. So it's only about a 25-minute drive. So we went there, and it's so much fun. It is such a throwback, but it still feels like it's such a real visceral experience. But you can still see the movie. The technology has caught up where it's not like, I remember even like 10 or 20 years ago, the technology wasn't as good for drive-ins, and you'd kind of be squinting, like, I can't really see what's going on. And it's like, one of my friends would complain, it's like, I'm only going to the theater to see it. I need to see this in high def. I'm not going to the drive-in. I'd be like, oh, you baby. Because it's about the experience of the drive-in. But yeah, that's, and I think right now, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find something that is as culturally a touchstone in the last week, and that's about as long as our news cycle and everything lasts, but Superman is what everybody's talking about.
Oh, yeah. And I forget about, thank you for reminding me about the drive-in experience. It's nice out now, so we can go to drive-ins.
Look, if you want to go Sunday night, I'll be there.
Maybe. I'm thinking.
And taking kids is the best. You put your guy in his pajamas and
snacks.
Falls asleep halfway through the movie. You just do your thing.
There's been a lot of talk around the Superman movie. So I feel like even if you aren't into superheroes, they're still, like you were saying, it's in the zeitgeist right now. And there's songs from the movie that are already, the Iggy Pop song apparently is just like going viral right now.
It's cool.
But there is a dissection of it. Some people saying it's too woke.
It is.
Is that a thing?
I don't think it's woke. I think it's just viewed as woke right now because of the temperature in the country and in the world. And so the things that we used to just sort of accept and take for granted, I think, the idea of Superman, truth, justice in the American way. I think we all used to sort of agree that it meant one thing, and now it means different things to different people.
Yeah.
And I think that's why that there is a controversy among some people about Superman. And to me, I don't think Superman ever changed. I think the culture changed.
Yeah. So Superman drive-in. That's the recommendation I'm thinking, because you got two out of, Allie and I might need to have a...
Yeah, what's the second feature?
A road trip or a field trip.
I don't know. Do we look this up?
Yeah.
I think you guys need to go on Sunday. Then we make it...
They had F1 as a second feature.
Isn't that on Apple TV already?
It might be.
Justin Bieber dropped a new album.
Yes.
Thoughts on the Justin Bieber album?
cricket.
Well,
cricket,
I think the lead up to it's been very confusing. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That was, you took the words right out of my mouth, and I didn't know how to appropriately say that, but like, yeah, very interesting type of a drop. People are saying, it goes both ways, right? People are saying, was he doing all of this and making such a thing in the media knowing that the album is going to drop? Or did he drop the album because he's been going crazy in the media and now it's just like, you forget about all that because you have this new album?
Yeah.
Is it an apology to Haley? Is that what's kind of going on?
I mean, he's just gone rogue. Like, it's just like, what is going on? Like, and it's just like, I don't know. It's just weird.
Yeah. Shout out to her phone case. I know that.
The
lip gloss on the phone case.
Yeah.
I kind of got the feeling just from, you know, it's one of those things. It's like following Britney Spears on Instagram. Like, I tried to not watch what he was doing on Instagram because you just never know what was going to happen. And, you know, one second he's fine, the next second he's off the rails. So I was just like, maybe he just needs to drop this album so it looks like the creative process. I'm not sure.
Is he doing a tour?
I don't
see, like, okay,
we don't want him.
I
know, like, we don't want him to.
I don't know if he's okay to be doing a tour.
Oh, no.
I hope his mental health is okay.
Yeah,
and it's hard to know in the era we live in, it's sort of that thing is like, is this performative? Is this all an act for the wind up for the album release? I have to be honest, I don't think it is.
No, I,
really
I think
don't.
It looks yeah. very real. I think yeah, that's why it was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I mean, he was discovered at 12 years old. So you have to remember that there is that element of the early fame and being probably put in adult situations at a young age. You know, we were sort of talking about when he was coming up through, social media wasn't as much of a thing. So you just saw the front facing of all of the good things that were happening to him. So, and you know, with the Diddy trial going on, mm-hmm. you know, he was allegedly at some of the parties. So how do we handle these stars now? What does their journey to stardom look like? What do we expect from them?
I think there's a lot more compassion now than we did even 5 years ago. I think mm-hmm. the Britney Spears situation kind of checked everyone a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, and also Dakota Fanning, that actor, I mean, she was in a rough spot for... No, I mean, there's like so many good yeah. stories too, is what
yes,
I'm trying to get at.
Yes.
Like Britney Spears, we still see now dancing in her yeah. brown pumps and her bikini top versus other people who are really successful and grounded, but they're also not on social media. Who knows? It's a little bit of craving yeah. the attention because that's how they can feel love. So mm-hmm. I don't know. I think there's a lot more compassion with it now than it has been.
And I think we want them to succeed. It's just then when we see what's behind that success sometimes, it gets a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I don't think being creative is an easy thing. What about the connections with Justin and Selena?
Are you starting a war? Is that what you're trying to do? What are you doing? What are you doing here, Bentley?
I mean, that was has been said that that was a manufactured relationship.
From like the olden days?
Yeah.
I mean, so many
the,
are.
Yeah, well, the olden yeah. days.
But yeah.
Like Kristen Stewart and Robert yeah. Pattinson, right? That mm-hmm. was that was a fixer. But I think that was a real relationship, right? Or you think you don't think so? I don't know. I don't know what you do at 14. I was just a like smelly dandruff child that was chubby. Yeah. Like I didn't have
well,
like,
I think
a boyfriend. Like what?
They might have facilitated it, and then maybe things. Then it turned into.
I mean, like an agent was like, "You guys should go to TGI Fridays." Yes. And like, is that what they're doing?
It's it is all controlled in the background, and you know, it's known that that is the case. I'm not saying it can't turn into more, but it is almost always happening from behind the scenes. Now, especially, yeah. I shouldn't say now because they've been doing it since the days where you know closeted mm-hmm. closeted gay stars. They'd put them out there with. You know, going back to the 40s and 50s, mm-hmm. where they would put, you know, they'd put an actress and make sure that they got a lot of pictures of them out in public and put it in the magazines and in the newspapers. So it was like, oh, yeah, there he's with a woman.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So it's been going on. It's yeah. been going on forever.
Yeah. Eight Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, right? That book that kind of shows it. That's a new movie coming out soon. But yeah, that's completely. Mm-hmm.
There are obviously things that Justin has dealt with in his life. So we're wishing him well and hoping that he is successful in this album release. And Selena's crushing it.
She's crushing it.
It's said she maybe had the most graceful Disney exit of all time. But how did Selena make her transparency a strength? Because she was very honest.
Therapy. Like therapy saves. Yeah. Therapy. Right. She was very open about that.
Mm-hmm. In case you just joined us, you're listening to Group Chat. I'm your host, Bentley, here with Donnie Kutzbach, Ollie Brady, and Alexa Zappia. So we have transitioned and we were talking about Justin Bieber's new album, but also talking about early fame and what that looks like later in life. And there have been people that have been successful in that, but there also could be a price. But there's also a following with these artists. So you might have known Justin when he was coming up and now you either expect the same things or you want him to succeed. Jonas Brothers coming to Buffalo.
Yes.
Alexa, big fan. You actually just met Nick.
I did. Twice. Randomly. I mean, one wasn't random, one was, but yeah. Yes. Twice.
Go so, on.
Take your head out of the gutter.
How did you first find a love for the Jonas Brothers as artists?
20 years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm 28, so now I feel really old saying that. My really good friend, also an Alexa, they just got on the scene. We were like huge Disney fans. I mean, what's not to love three attractive guys to 8-year-olds and who can sing and who can act? I mean, yes. So that became like our thing that we were just like, we would sit at either my house or her parents' house and make up dances. We did Burn It Up in our parents' bathrobes and it got to the chorus and we would just like whip off the bathrobes and we'd be in like in all red because he was talking about a red dress, like whatever. So it became that. And then, you know, I think as we got older and as our lives changed and we go to college and post-college and whatever. With Lexi in particular, we're still super, super close. And it's funny that a lot of our memories revolve around the Jonas Brothers.
Yeah.
And so we go to every tour together. We're always sending each other like memes and stuff. So yes, it is the Jonas Brothers. And there's so many other things that connect Lexi and myself.
Yeah.
But building those memories and growing up with them. I mean, she's coming in for the tour. She lives in Florida now. She's coming in for the tour so we can have the 20th anniversary tour together.
Yeah. That you're already gearing up for, and that's in November.
Oh my God, guys, you don't even know what it is. You don't know what just happened, okay? So I got my tickets back in March. I have booked a 14-person reservation at the Panorama on 7. A bunch of us from Spin are going, and then we're all going to the concert. And I booked the reservation in March.
Power and nostalgia.
So there's power and nostalgia, but I think that's it. So you're watching them grow up from Disney to now, and then you're also growing up with them.
Mm-hmm.
Those memories that I have, you know, with Lexi making these dances and these, you know, fangirling over that, whatever, and doing this together now, it's just memories. And then I go and meet him and I call her. She always answers my call in 5 minutes. I call her. She doesn't answer my FaceTime. She's in the shower.
And he was on the FaceTime?
It was right as he was like coming. I was like, Lexi, like, dude, you dropped the ball here. So I called her back again. She didn't answer me. And I like sent her a picture of me and Nick Jonas. And she's like, I was in the shower. Like, are you kidding me?
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Well, she was soul crushed.
It's funny when you talk about the dances, too, because that was such a thing. And that was pre-TikTok, by the way.
Pre-TikTok.
Pre-TikTok dances. Donnie, you knew the early Jonas Brothers, didn't you? Book them, or you had something to do with Joe Jonas?
I don't want to, again, we're talking 20 years. This has been 20 years. And
yeah.
It was before they were on Disney, but they were on the way. Does anybody remember the Veronicas?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
So I did a show. It was the first year that we'd opened Town Ballroom, and it was a show with the Veronicas. Oddly enough, we didn't do a lot of these. I think it was an early show on a Sunday. And it was Veronica's, and one of the Veronica's was dating Ryan Cabrera. There's another name that is like...
Who also dated Ashley Simpson.
Yeah. Yes. This was after Ashley Simpson. He's just kind of sitting there with his, no matter what era it is, was a dumb haircut. He's sitting at the front of house mixing board with like watching them sound check with his dumb haircut. But I remember... The first of three were these three, like, to me, little boys, and their dad is there managing them. They said a prayer before they went on stage, which you don't see a lot in the rock and roll world, but, you know, every once in a while you do. I texted my partner who wasn't there that day, and I said, oh, this opening band is really good. It's like a family band. It's like a, you know, it's like a three brothers trio, but they can all really play, and they're really good. And it was the Jonas Brothers.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I love that.
I want to say I paid them $250.
And a Diet Coke. Yeah.
Yeah.
And now
and
you're
probably
paying that much for a ticket to see.
Yeah, now you're paying that for...
That was literally the price of my ticket.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
full circle moment.
That was my Jonas Brothers story.
So are you going in November? You should.
Probably not. If my daughter's... She's remained a fan. If she decides she wants to go, I might go with her, but I probably won't. But you never know. I get a call from my friend at the arena and said, hey, what are you doing? You want to come to see the show? Yeah. So I sometimes pop in on a show like that.
What day this was a Sunday.
Is it the like 12th or?
The 9th.
Oh, that's a,
so that's
a Bills
weekend.
Game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's...
I won't be there.
Yeah.
Just make them hair Bills
it's
jerseys.
A Sunday night. I actually made a TikTok on this, and I was dead serious when I posted it, that I think the ticketing process, yes, I believe that everyone should be able to go to a concert, yes. But those who get first access in or first access to tickets, I think Big Rob, the security guard that they always have with them, needs to drop a song, and you just have to start singing. If you don't know that lyric or that song, like, you're not allowed in. Like, it's just like, this is for... The OG 20 years.
Spoken as a true reality show casting director.
You should make a show about it.
Yeah. You're
coming
like, I'm
soon.
In it.
I'm in it. Yeah. Ask Netflix.
Well, speaking of all things nostalgia, as we are discussing when we come back from the break, we'll continue that and talk more about the nostalgia of our youth. And maybe Alexa will make you sing. Don't go away, group chat on BTPM NPR. We'll be right back. Thanks for checking out Group Chat, our new pop culture show on WBFO that talks about what you're talking about each week. Music, movies, food, technology, arts, culture, and more. And we want to know what's on your mind. Join the chat by dropping us an email at groupchat@wbfo.org. We welcome your questions, comments, and suggestions on what you want us to talk about. Thanks for joining us again on Group Chat. I'm your host, Bentley, and I'm joined by Donnie Kutzbach, co-owner of Town Ballroom and Fun Time Presents and promoter for tons of concerts. Allie Brady, stand-up comedian and voice of the Buffalo Bandits, and also one of my favorite people to follow on social media. Alexa Zappia is an Emmy-nominated casting producer. You've seen her work on Squid Game, The Bachelor, and every other reality show out right now known to man. Also, Jonas Brothers connoisseur. And we were just talking about some of the acts that we grew up with that are now touring or now have new albums out. So diving a little deeper into nostalgia, I know, Alexa, you were talking about a Disney and then doing some of the dances. But now there are actual products that are designed to like tap into that nostalgia. So Chuck E. Cheese. Did anybody go to Chuck E. Cheese growing up? Or yeah.
Yes, but I was terrified of him. Like, first of all, yeah. I'm 5 feet tall now. Like, imagine, I did not grow that
little
much.
Mouse.
Yeah, mom and litter. Right. Yeah. So, like, 2 foot tall me, and yeah. then Chuck E. Cheese. I'm like, oh my God, you're really intimidating.
Yeah. I think the birthday parties were a little. Now, if we were to look at those birthday parties that we went to now as an adult, we might be like, oh, they're a little sketchy. But they're piloting a 21 and up grown up arcade with boozy drinks and retro games. Do these kind of things appeal to you now, or do you just appeal more to the, you know, being a kid and going to Chuck E. Cheese?
I mean, I think that's it. There was actually a scene. I don't know how many of you guys watched Real Housewives, but there was a scene recently.
Ellie and you guys, just like, the bond is.
Oh, we're leaving. Yeah. We're taking over.
Let's talk.
Miami is so good. Yeah, okay, no,
of Beverly Hills last year, where Erica Girardi, who Garcelle, a couple of them, went to Chuck E. Cheese.
Yes.
This was last season.
The birthday party.
Yes.
Said you don't, maybe you don't deserve a birthday party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they went to Chuck E. Cheese.
They did. Yeah. They went to Chuck E. Cheese. They made pizzas and then they went to Chuck E. Cheese after, and it was like a thing. And it was like the first time that I was like, okay, that's a choice. But like, yeah. And now, but you're right in bringing that up, that it's like, why? They could have went everywhere. They're housewives. They could have went to France for a day.
Yeah, they could have made pizzas in Italy. Like,
literally. With like, right, exactly. But I feel like it's the nostalgia of like your childhood birthday parties and like being able to relive. Who doesn't want to relive their childhood? I mean, yeah, unless I mean, it was terrible.
Again,
like,
14 with dandruff. Remember yeah. that? Not me.
But like, you know, there's like something that comes back to you like, oh, this is home.
So were you a Dave & Buster's person or were you guys into
My post-prom was at Dave & Buster's. They like rented out.
That's cool.
Didn't you go to South?
I did,
but you had to.
Again, not I.
You guys didn't have that?
Well, I didn't. I probably didn't have a date is what I'm saying. Like, you want to
oh, you know what? That's funny that you bring that up, because for I went to a prom, one of the junior proms I went to, everyone was trying to go to like what they thought was the upscale fancy adult restaurants or whatever.
Yeah.
Post-prom or
pre-prom?
Before yes.
We went to Showbiz, which was the equivalent of Chuck E. Cheese, Billy Bob, the, you know.
Oh, it was different
it's like
characters?
Other Major
like
Magic.
It's became Major Magic.
It's Good Value Major Magic.
No, it was the original, and then Major Magic's bought Showbiz. It's the original, like Five Nights at Freddy's is based on. So it was that. We went there as like 16-year-olds in 1991. The thing with Chuck E. Cheese, and again, I'm going to go old head, but like 41 years ago in August, I had my 10th birthday at Chuck E. Cheese.
And you remember.
I remember.
Specifically your 10th birthday.
I remember. I can tell you because, and I always, I tell this story all the time, but it was like, that was the year that I think my life completely changed. And it was already like way on its way. But at that birthday, I remember two of the records I got were Prince Purple Rain. I know.
Prince shirt.
And Bruce Springsteen Born in the USA.
No way.
And that is basically, that's where my life went from that point onward. But the birthday at Chuck E. Cheese was so awesome. It was like you got treated like royalty. They were giving you unlimited tokens. And at that time, all I wanted to do was basically eat pizza and play video games, and that's what I got to do.
Now you're talking about the music angle. I guess I didn't really realize they actually had a band, right? Chuck E.
They
Cheese.
Did. Yeah. They had the animatronic
band.
Yeah,
and then you could crawl under the stage.
You could like the servos in the performers were louder than the music. Sometimes you'd hear like they'd be playing like the version of Michael Jackson. All you hear is.
Would you go then as an adult?
Oh, totally. I mean, and generationally too, is I always took my kids. I have an Amazon device. I put, when the TV goes dark for a minute, it'll put like family pictures up. And I put up this whole thing. It's like the Dank series. And I have all these weird pictures of my kids. And I have like a lot of weird pictures of them at Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, amazing.
Because it's just,
those would be,
it's amazing.
Probably. Yeah. I wish now that I had, well, now I have to find out. Speaking of pictures and yeah. digging up pictures. The ball pit though, I used to love that. The, you know, you jumped in the balls, but then they came out like later to be like, do you
Petri
know what
dish.
They
find
yeah. in the ball pit?
Teeth.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so
there's not even vaccines for some of the stuff that you could get in those ball pits.
Apparently, like the new places that have those, they like take them out and clean them, and maybe they do.
Of course they do, Bethany. Of course we clean them.
Sure they do.
It would be like my favorite thing, and I'm like,
use lasers.
And, yeah, that's where I got chicken pox. Yeah. So what is it about nostalgia, Allie? You're always, I feel like, our historian. What is it about nostalgia? What does it do for us? Is it remembering these happy moments, and then do they compare?
I think everyone can probably echo this. Like, it's that you get that high of like, oh, remember that? Like, it's yeah. there's something really magical. I can say, when you said Bruce Springsteen, you know, I was listening to him today. I'm stuttering. I'm so excited about Bruce Springsteen. Like, that's my excitement. Like, I love him.
I saw you get excited when he mentioned the album.
I was like, you know, it's too much. That's what nostalgia does. It like, yeah. it's this visceral experience.
Yeah.
Almost. Like, it's
yeah.
just it, our body. There's something that triggers. There's probably pheromones going somewhere. There's like all this good juice. Yeah. That's a scientific answer, everyone. I am so sorry.
But what? So are there any childhood spaces or things that you did as a kid that you would want to see brought back?
Yes. I want the Tamagotchi / Nano Baby to come back, because I would be able to make something live for 3 days. Like, that was so impressive. Like, why were we so afraid? I don't know. That's crazy.
Now you could actually do it.
Yeah.
I feel like I was not successful at those things.
Yeah, right. I don't know what else is.
Well, there's Animal Crossing is kind of like that.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, that's Farmville.
Is there a child, like, a yeah. space where you would want to see maybe an adult only event? I know sometimes at like Explore and More, they'll do like, they did like a 90s night there at night where it was just adults, and they served the huggy cocktails.
Oh,
yeah.
Like,
yeah, and stuff like that. And you could do all the kid stuff. Not that I don't think, well, you could walk through the car wash. I'm trying to think some of the stuff you might not be able to fit in, but.
I don't know if there's anything just.
Because I think they've done it. I think a lot of the places have kind of cashed in on that. I remember having actually birthday parties at McDonald's growing up.
Oh, yeah.
Did not partake.
You can't even imagine.
You know, I'm a total collector, obsessive hoarder, and I had to give away a bunch of McDonald's glasses because I still buy them, and they're loaded with lead paint.
Yeah.
And I still drink out of them all the time, but I've had to like start giving them away because I have so many every time I find them.
Yeah. You're giving like, lead to your friends.
Oh, here's a Hamburglar glass for you.
That's so cute.
Yes, the McDonald's birthdays were amazing.
Then there was that social pressure then. So if like one kid had the Chuck E. Cheese or McDonald's birthday, then the other parents are like, oh. Then you're like, well, I want my birthday there.
Mm-hmm. And but I think on a parent level too, and you're going to find this out as you're going through it, it's sometimes easier to just pay to make the problem go away instead of having a million, you know,
kids at your
a
house.
Dozen kids at your house and having to figure out games and prizes and all that. Just like, I'm just going to pay and then this is Chucky's problem. It's not
Chucky,
my problem.
Babysit my kids.
Chicken pox, right? Laser trauma's a big one too. That was another
Which
is kind of crazy. Like, you have to shoot each other with lasers, but you can't run. So it's like, that's what everyone's like nightmares about. Like, someone with like chasing you slowly.
Yeah.
It's kind of wild.
Still open today.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that.
Which is crazy.
Are there adult beverages there?
Yeah.
Okay. Are so, see, they can make everything adult related.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There you go. I'd Lasertron it.
In case you just joined us, you're listening to Group Chat. I'm your host, Bentley, here with Donnie Kutzbach, Allie Brady, and Alexa Zappia. So we're talking a lot about nostalgia today. Maybe this is our break in reality, going back to a different time.
But that's it. I think that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's exactly it. That, like, our world is so chaotic, and nostalgia is so safe. It's like, let's go back to, like, a time that was so sacred to us. And, like, looking back, you know what I mean? When you watch Disney shows back, you're like, what is this?
Yeah,
like, why did I love this? Why was I obsessed? There was such a, like, an innocent part of it that you're like, would die to have that back on the air.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Music is my nostalgic thing. That's like my safe little, I love a good 90s alternative or 80s. But
love that.
Yeah, that's where I get, like, I don't think I need an event or a toy, but I think a good soundtrack.
It brings back
to
when you didn't, maybe we were more carefree. I don't know. You mean, yeah, we had emotions, but it wasn't big simpler. Problems.
Yeah, I didn't have to pay a mortgage.
At that time, it felt like a huge problem.
Yeah. Right.
It's like, oh my God.
Yes.
You know, I failed the test. Oh my God, you got a 62 on a test. Whatever. Yeah. Like, life was, at that point, was a big problem. But it's funny, this year, so we usually do like birthday rides for Spin. And my birthday ride this year is a Disney's throwback nostalgia ride. And like, I thought it was just like, because I like the Jonas Brothers. But so many people are so hype about this.
Yeah.
And I think it's because it's like, what other time would you be allowed? Not allowed. You can do whatever you want. But like,
socially, as of today. But who knows?
Socially acceptable to sit there for 50 minutes listening to Hillary Duff, like Liz McGuire, That's So Raven, Jonas Brothers. Like, what other place where you'd be like, let's do that? You know, it just brings back an innocence part of it.
Yeah. So, Allie, if nostalgia for you comes from music and then, you know, these artists now are being listened to in different ways. So there might be a 90s artist or an 80s artist that people are listening to now in playlists and think that that's new.
Yeah. So I love The Bear and the TV show The Bear, and R.E.M. is on there constantly. And people are like, oh my gosh, Orange Crush. And you're like, yeah, this song came out decades ago. But it's great because people are now, and now there's like a cover band that's R.E.M. from Michael Sheen?
Michael Shannon.
Shannon, yeah.
Yeah, and Jason Narducci.
Yeah, someone knows this stuff. I know, music guy.
Friends of mine.
Yeah, but that's a cool, and that's now getting more people to love the music of R.E.M. And I don't know, I think it's kind of cool that I don't think it's odd. Did you see that video of The Verb when they were doing
the
Bittersweet Symphony at...
Because Richard Ashcroft, somebody shazammed during the song.
Bittersweet Symphony. And then people were outraged, and then Richard was like, it's cool. Like, I have a new fan, so that's okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's exciting to like expand and it's okay.
Mm-hmm. So you're on the side of, yes, this is giving the things that I love new life.
Yeah.
And exposing more people to it. So you don't feel like you need to own it and keep it for yourself.
No, but I also feel like, Alexa, if I was a number one fan, I want to be like, you at least need to know 9 songs.
True, because for us, it was so sacred. Because, and I think, yes, the Jonas Brothers for us, yes, are sacred. But like, it's the memories that we have associated with that, that we don't want someone just like encroaching on our territory of these like 6-year-olds who just learned, you know, Love Me to Heaven because it was on the radio. And they're like, oh my God, I love the Jonas Brothers. It's like, were you with them when, you know, the whole world, Nick came out that he has diabetes and we thought he was literally dying because his song was like, a little bit longer, a little bit longer, and I'll be fine. It's like a song, and like we all thought, like Nick Jonas he's going down. But like, seriously, no, I'm serious.
Yeah. Well, it is interesting, and I know we've talked about this before, but it is interesting on how each generation consumes music. So the music and the way what you're listening to hasn't necessarily changed a ton. You know, it's still the same construction. It's still like a lot of influence from previous generations. You're just consuming it differently. So the reason, to your point about like somebody hearing an REM song and saying, well, that's on The Bear, is playlists and things like that. Like, you used to have to listen, buy the CD and look at the liner notes. And now everything is in the background. So a lot of times people just know they like a song. Like, they don't know who sang it, or they don't know that it's part of a bigger work. They just know the song and they think it's new.
Yeah. Have you heard of the phrase, what is your favorite song? And don't give me multiple, like, what is your favorite song? Because if you ask someone what their favorite song is, you'll know more about them than you would if you asked 5,000 other interview questions, because that song and the reason why, and then like, why did you choose that? And so when you think of nostalgia, a lot of those songs that someone may say probably are from their childhood. It's probably not something they just heard on the radio yesterday, right? And it probably is something from way back when, or associated memories associated with a person from way back when, not something that just came about yesterday.
Is there just good marketing that's being realized around that now, Donnie? You know, especially with tours, but then also some of the things we just talked about, like Chuck E. Cheese coming back, or...
I think that something happened in the 20th century. It has a lot more to do with the way the culture changed and the way mass media changed. And I'm going to point to the boomers in a big way, because we were just talking about Paul McCartney, obviously. So we've got a table of Gen Z, we've got millennials, we got Gen X. We're all talking about this Paul McCartney show, but that's something that again, when the boomers happened, they were supposed to outgrow rock and roll. You know, when they got a little bit older, you can't still, you know, be into that. And of course now, so you're going to see a bunch of 80 and 85 year olds jamming mm-hmm. out at the McCartney show as much as we're going to see Gen yeah. Zs and millennials and all the rest, because something happened along the way where we don't outgrow these things. I think culturally we change so much where you don't have to say you're an adult now, you can't like that. I think it's the kind of thing that it grew with us.
Yeah.
And I think it's something that happened again with media mm-hmm. and society and culture. And I think that's why nostalgia is actually celebrated now in that way. And our ties are still to family and things like that. But I think some of the things we can all still get behind, regardless of politics and everything else, is like, I love that song. I love that artist. I love that movie. I love that TV show.
Yeah.
I love that influencer.
Which is why we're all here together right. today. Yes. So we're going to dive a little bit more into the music and to Britpop in particular. Speaking of Paul McCartney coming, we're talking about Oasis, all the things. This is where Ellie and Donnie might battle it out a little bit.
I don't think so. I think we're actually really...
I think you're on the same page.
I think our Venn diagram is almost one circle.
Okay, I like it.
I think so.
That's up next. Group Chat on BTPM NPR. We'll be right back. Thanks for checking out Group Chat, our new pop culture show on WBFO that talks about what you're talking about each week. Music, movies, food, technology, arts, culture, and more. And we want to know what's on your mind. Join the chat by dropping us an email at groupchat@wbfo.org. We welcome your questions, comments, and suggestions on what you want us to talk about.
Voice of the Buffalo Bandits and Alexa Zappia. She's an Emmy-nominated casting producer. You've seen her work on Squid Game, The Bachelor, and a whole lot more.
So we've been diving a lot into nostalgia this episode of Group Chat, and Britpop is back. Did it ever really go away?
Never.
It slept for a little bit.
In the 2009-13 when Gorillaz came out, but that's about it.
No, I mean, there was a lot of, there's a phenomenon that they call landfill indie in England, where there's a bunch of bands between 2000 and maybe 7 and 2017, and they were just kind of trying to have like, who's gonna be the next great British band?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of sort of like mid-level, and there's, for every one Arctic Monkeys, there's about 20 of these bands who are kind of like
yeah. So it's funny because we started this conversation around, obviously the Oasis tour has been a big thing because that kicked off, you know, 4th of July weekend, which was kind of funny. But then you just had Sir Paul announce a show in Buffalo. So it's like, if you even say the word Britpop, which I don't think people associate, they associate with Oasis and Blur, but who are the founders of Britpop? If you were to say British pop, would you say the Beatles?
It's probably the Beatles, the Stones, the Who, the Kinks. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably the jumping off point. And then somehow in there, David Bowie sort of stirred it a little bit. And then punk comes out and Paul Weller and the Jam have a huge imprint on it. And the Clash, of course. And it just keeps morphing and changing. And then in the 90s, they gave it a brand name.
Yeah. The encroachment of American society into British society, you know, that was the big...
The marketing brand name came, it got the name in the 90s.
In the 90s, the Britpop. I think like NME or Melody Maker, one of those, decided to just give it that stamp and that kind of stuck.
And Ellie, what were you mentioning about the bigger social picture of that?
Oh, well, it's just like the encroachment of American society into British society. That's kind of was the big thing. I think that's why maybe Oasis did not want to be considered Britpop for a while. And that Blur, you know, they're snooty little guys that they don't understand the people. And they were talking about American society. And I think that was, part of the little.
I think that Britain wanted a reaction to grunge and American alternative. And that's what it sort of became.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Britpop was probably in the background for you growing up, right? Because you were
this
in
the funny story. Alexa. The timing of this is pretty impeccable. I went to my cousin's, who's about 15 years older than me, for the 4th. She has 2 or 3 little kids, whatever. All the kids are in bed and we're sitting there and she's like, oh my God, did you see the Oasis tour? I looked at her and I was like, I don't know who that is.
Oh,
so,
oh,
I don't know who that is.
Oh my heart.
So I think she like threw her phone. She was like, "What? What do you mean you don't know?" And then she's listening. I'm like, "Carrie, I don't know.
You had heard Wonderwall though, right?
She started singing it, and she's like, "You know that song Wonderwall?" I was like, "Okay, yes," but like I didn't know who sang that. And then it became a whole thing. She got one of my best friends on FaceTime, who's older than me as well. They're like doing things, and I mean, so I'm just sitting here listening to you guys because this is my education lesson for the day.
Did your cousin do it in a British accent?
She just said it normally, but
and
I
then
didn't...
did Joe Jonas show up on the FaceTime?
So I said, she goes, "I don't understand how you don't know this." I'm like, "Well, tell me a Jonas Brothers song, and then you can tell me this is because they for you are my Jonas Brothers." Yeah. You know what I mean? You grew up with that.
Sure.
So here's a question: but if they like, I feel like there must be some sort of love that Jonas Brothers have of certain musicians. Like
they do, like what they have. I don't think they've yet to cover them, but they do one. A different artist a night on tour, and they cover an older song.
They'll do Iris. That's what they're
going to
do.
Oh, yeah.
So you would have been the girl watching The Verve or watching Richard Ashcroft and then him playing Bittersweet Symphony going, "I know that song, but it was..."
Shazamming it, right?
Yeah,
Shazamming it.
Which is fine.
That's exactly... Yeah.
That's a great album, too. If you want to get into the Britpop world, that...
Banger after banger.
It's so good. It's such a...
It was that, and I couldn't... Bare Naked Ladies, I was like, I don't...
Old Apartment? You don't... Oh, my God.
See, oh, that's another story. Listen, we are not...
Okay, yeah.
This is a whole... It became a whole conversation.
Do you want to open this can of worms? Yeah. We'll do it.
But what about, like, okay, did Matty Healy, did the 1975, did that spark your interest at all, even with, like, the Taylor Swift...
Taylor Swift, see, but that's the
situation.
Thing. It's like, when you... Yeah. When you bring it from something that was older into our age, we associate it with what we know now, right? So like the Taylor Swift whole thing with that. And it's kind of like what we were talking about before with, you know, like the Jonas, but like the original know what they know. And now you get the revival of it because of the pop culture references. Yeah. And you're like, oh yeah, because of that now. And it's like the ones who had it associated with before, they're like, yeah, this was a thing like 25 years ago before all of this revival, you know?
I'm not a 1975 fan, but McCartney said that Matt Healy is one of the best lyricists.
Like,
and
I'm
like,
friends with him.
Yeah. Matt Healy. Yeah. I trust him.
So that made you then...
kind of just dive in a little bit.
So now, if you were going to explain to Alexa the Blur Oasis rivalry. So, okay, think Blur Song 2. You know Song 2, right?
Yes.
It's every sports anthem.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And,
yes,
you know, Oasis, Wonderwall. Like, think like Bear Basic. So how would you guys describe the Blur Oasis rivalry?
Do you want to do this together? It's 1993. We're at the Brit Awards.
I think it was 95, but I'm not trying to be
nitpicky. Wasn't that the second one?
Yeah,
second
they were just, it was a lot of it was, again, a lot of it was manufacturers, that thing we're talking about where it was manipulated by the press and they were kind of like the English, you have to understand the English press at the time, it was Melody Maker and NME and they're all just trying to get wild headlines and sell more of their weekly music magazines, which were great.
Yeah.
And I would sit at, when I worked at the record store, we'd get like one in, a friend of ours would order it every week and then we would just go through and we'd read the whole thing cover to cover. But they were just trying to stoke this whole rivalry and a lot of it happened because of that. And they would kind of be friendly at times and then they would just fight. But I think that the Gallagher brothers from Oasis just, they're scrappy. They're, you know, they're from Manchester, they're Mancunians, so they're just ready. They've got a chip on their shoulder already. They're just ready to fight.
So speaking of fighting, do you think that in this era of them fighting on Twitter, of Liam and Noel, the brothers of Oasis, do you think that also gained more of a wanting for this tour and them being away from each other for a while? And did that spark
I think
drama?
Liam is going to fight with Liam. I think he'll fight with anything. And it just, that's his humor. So I think that's his love language. But I thought it was because of Noel had a divorce. And then I heard that Liam didn't like the ex-wife. So once that happened, he was like, I like you again. Who knows? That could have been me starting a rumor right now.
And they're just getting Beatles vibes again. So
Live Nation drove a truck of money up to both their houses and just said, here you go. And they're like, okay, we're going to put this aside.
Yeah, we can work it out.
Yeah, we can afford separate hotel rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just quoted a Beatles song.
Try to see it my way.
So yeah, what brings these numbers to a tour like Oasis? Is it because of the hiatus? Because of the drama? Because of those nostalgic songs? The best mix of it all?
I think all of it, right? Mm-hmm. For different reasons. Everyone goes for different reasons, some for the nostalgia, some for whatever, you know what I mean? Like everyone has their own reason for going. Maybe it's that they're going to the concert because their childhood best friend and that's what they listen to or whatever, or they associate that with someone maybe who has passed over and they're not here anymore, whatever. They're all going for different reasons, I think. And I don't don't think that's just Oasis. I think that's any revival tour in general.
So what's Damon Albarn doing right now?
He conceded. He conceded the Britpop Wars this past week.
I saw that. He's in Africa right now doing a kind of an opera like concert sort of thing. Did you hear about that?
He's constantly doing something, and in a way, as a fully formed adult and not just, you know, a drunken rock kid in the '90s, I look at Damon Albarn and I'm kind of like, he's a little bit up his own butt sometimes, but he is really like a real artist who's constantly doing things, and he did okay, and I think he's okay with where he's at in the world, because he can still go and sell out arenas all over the world, sometimes stadiums, and he's got two bands that are massive, so I think he's okay.
Ellie, I feel like you are at all levels of a Britpop fan, because you're a huge Paul McCartney fan, even though we're not labeling them Britpop, but we're giving them a nod.
Yeah.
And then you obviously Blur, Oasis, but you've traveled to London, visited all the music spots.
I did it. we did a little Joy Division at the Palladium. I do all that stuff. I'm going back to London next month, and I'm seeing Peter Buck, who's not British, but looks like he could be, if that means anything. But yeah, I give me all the music.
You know, especially with the revival, maybe it's just good music.
It's like, great music.
It's gravitating towards people.
Yeah. I mean, but then there's like these bangers, like we were saying with The Verve, like that album is so good. So I'm really excited that people are going to start listening. And it's going to be on TikTok then, because it's like, oh, that song is catchy. And then more people... There was really great songwriters that came out of the 90s. And I think we were seeing that right now, and we're noticing again. Like even Liam Gallagher had with the High Flying Birds. Isn't that his band?
No, that's Noel.
Noel. There's some really great, If I Had a Gun is a really beautiful love song. Like, so he's continued to make music, and there are people like me who've always liked the artist. So I've kept listening.
Yeah.
And I hope it kind of brings more attention to their little solo projects.
I still do. I mean, I'm happy that they are getting along, allegedly, because they're performing together.
They're hugging before every show.
Yeah. I do sort of love the stories, though, especially the Unplugged story.
Oh, my
right?
goodness. I think I've watched that more than almost any. I actually have a VHS tape that I recorded on MTV in the 90s. And like, Ellie, I've never done the London thing, but I've gone to Manchester and done the whole thing where we went to Everywhere Significant for Oasis, Everywhere Significant for Joy Division and New Order, all the Smith spots, Manchester Free Trade Hall where Bob Dylan played the famous show. So it's like England, if you love rock and roll, it is there's so much there. And it's so parochial. And like, if you go to like one little town, you go to Birmingham, and the history of electronic music's there, but so is heavy metal, because that's where Black Sabbath started. And I know we're getting away from Brit pop, but Brit pop again is like, well, isn't Duran Duran a Brit pop band? Because they were one of the biggest pop bands of the 80s, and they're so important.
Yep.
Yeah. Or pop.
We
Brit.
Did a it was funny because we did a Brit pop weekend on the Bridge, and I was like, hey, if they're British,
just add them into
it. You know, and and they aren't playing classical music, you know, because pretty much if you talk about music in any sort of cerebral sense or any academic sense, anything that's not classical music is pop music. So it was like, okay, they're British and it's not classical, so they're in. You know, because there's a lot of new artists like Lola Young and Last Dinner Party, and I'm just like, hey, that is British and it's popular, so it's Britpop. Yeah. So with all this stuff that you know, Ellie and Donnie are talking about, Alexa, back to, how do you think now, like, Gen Z is reclaiming this? Does it look different? Does it look
so
the
different?
Same?
Yeah, so different in a way. I think, again, going back to how they're consuming it.
Yeah,
TikTok, Reels. If you really want to go, I feel like TikTok starts first and then it goes on Reels after. But like TikTok or Reels, and that's how they're consuming music, and through social media, and they're identifying with. You maybe not the older generation, I say that in quotes, but like the older generation, but they're rediscovering it in the way that they recognize it. And so if they're consuming it through social media, I feel like it's a way to claim something and make it the old new again in a way that they understand it. And like, I'm following your conversation because of social media, like not because I'm like a diehard and I've listened to their music before and the records and this and that, but I know what you're talking about through social media. So I feel like we're kind of living that right here, right now, and how we identify with certain trends and how we are exposed to different things. It's a thing now.
It's like Ellie being a fan of all eras, because it, you know, you didn't see the Beatles' first performance on TV when it happened.
Oh, did I?
You will never know.
I was in the Ed Sullivan Theater.
Yeah.
I was there.
So I mean, I guess there is a lot of similarities on even just the medium might be different, but the concepts are all really the same and how we're talking about it and how we're sharing. I have to go back to the Oasis.
Yeah.
Unplugged.
Oh, can you recap I didn't mean to derail that.
No, you did it. I need you to explain this to people. Like, I need you to explain the Fighting Gallagher Brothers and the things that they used to do.
That's a great name for a band too. Fighting Gallagher Brothers.
I always call them just Oasis is the Fighting Gallagher Brothers.
I think that Liam, he was one of the most petulant people in the world, probably in his era when he was one of the biggest rock stars. So they were booked to play this MTV Unplugged, and he refused to do it. And he's, oh, I feel sick. So Noel said, that's fine. I wrote all these songs. I can play all these songs without you. We have a string section to do it. And it's such a great show. And it was actually where I really had realized I was also one of those people who was buying every Oasis single to get the B-sides because you couldn't get it otherwise. I had a friend who would like buy them all and put them on a cassette. But then once I like really got in, I was like, I bought every single to have the B-sides. And you'd realize Noel wrote all the songs and then he would sing a lot of the B-sides. And some of those were like the best songs. Mm-hmm. So when he got to go play a whole show by himself, you were like, to me, he was the star of the band. He was already writing all the songs. He was conceiving the whole thing, and he did that. So then Liam is sick, can't do it. But then they cut away, and he's sitting in the balcony with a cigarette, a bottle of Heineken in each hand, wearing a bucket hat, very Mancunian, and just kind of sitting there and like nodding. And then Noel references it, and he's kind of just like nods his head about it. And it's just that is it does it kind of encapsulates what Oasis is.
Yeah. Was he heckling him, allegedly?
Yes, he was heckling. Yeah, and he was also screaming things, just being, again, just a petulant jerk, which he's so good at and could just needle. And brothers, as you know, if you have siblings, you know how to get under the other one's skin.
Oh, yeah.
You know. And drugs, too, probably really helps.
Drugs help. Yeah, drugs help really escalate it.
Yeah.
And that's why we have bucket hats now.
Yeah. I know. Thanks a lot.
It is true. Yeah.
I thought it was Jamiroquai that really got us out.
So, that and hip-hop. And I think, actually, the hip-hop informed it. And then Stone Roses, Manny from Stone Roses started wearing.
Yeah.
So then Liam would wear it because the, you know, Oasis worshiped the Stone Roses.
Yeah.
And
yeah. So, you know, obviously, you know, I do love that there are, you know, female British artists that are getting some nods now, like Wet Leg and Self Esteem, Last Dinner Party, Lola Young.
Freak Slug.
Oh, look at that. And, you know, even talking about some of these artists, nostalgia artists, you know, off mic, you guys, Ellie was like, but the new Pulp album.
So good. Know?
So good.
It's so good.
So good.
They're coming to Toronto, our Toronto people.
You're going to the Toronto show?
Yeah.
Okay. We have a busy year in Toronto with concerts this summer. I know.
Thanks, Toronto, for
it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And also, you're doing great, too. You're doing great, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, you just keep me busy all the time.
I mean, you're like nonstop. So
I just haven't been to Toronto this much in a while this summer. So lots of traveling. So weekend plans. Alexa, what's going on for you besides spin and spin and spin and spin?
Spin and spin. Spins, yoga, spin, hit. No, my friend's coming in from LA.
That's right.
And we're doing our thing. She's never been to Buffalo. She also FaceTimed me last week and said we met through a casting of the show. She actually ended up being on one of our shows that we did the casting for. She's like such a gem. And I just talked to her. I think I don't know. There's not a day I don't talk to her, honestly.
Aww.
And she's not even one that I found. So yeah, she's coming to Buffalo.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Show her all the... We'll tell you all the good spots.
Do I bring her here?
Good spots. I mean, yes.
And spin.
Ellie, you do a million things. Do you have any shows coming up? What's going on this weekend?
Yes. I have a show in 2 weeks, so I have to start writing jokes, which is super easy to do. And then I'm a new cast member on Offbeat Cinema, which is a classic Buffalo. So this weekend we are showing Screaming Skull, which is a black and white film from 1958. Yeah, so that's every weekend at a very normal time to show movies, which is midnight. And so, yeah.
Where's your show in a couple weeks?
It will be at the Kaz.
Donnie, how about you?
What do you think I'm doing?
What shows do you have this evening?
What's
the date?
Dark Star Orchestra doing a dead show. Who knows what era, what lineup they're going to do. And then it's about the most flip of the coin. The next day, I have Megan Maroney. That's when we were talking about the tickets earlier. I've had more people ask me, hey, what do I have to do to get a Megan Maroney ticket? I'm like, I don't have any for you. I'm sorry. And then I'm going to the beach.
Ooh.
Hanging out.
You should tell them you need Paul McCartney tickets. That's what you.
I got that locked up.
Are you going to the beach this weekend too?
I'm going to the beach on Sunday. And so Sunday, I got to work those 2 days, and then I'm going to go to the beach, hang out Sunday. Maybe it hangs over to Monday.
Yeah.
Depending, and then it's all going to start over again.
You need your
Bare Naked Ladies, your favorite, the next week.
The next week.
Yeah.
There we go.
Do you need
there
tickets? You hey.
Oh my god.
And I'm seeing Beck with the Toronto Symphony Orchestra.
Oh, no.
That'll be fun. That's summer in Buffalo. We fit it all in. Well, thank you. This was great. We're going to do it again. And we're going to also organize some off mic meetups.
Yoga spin, comedy, and concerts.
And the drive-in. That wraps up today's episode of Group Chat for now. If you want to continue the conversation, make sure you follow us on Instagram and Twitter at BTPMNPR. Also, check us out on the video podcast, Buffalo Toronto Public Media's YouTube. I'd like to thank my guests here, Donnie Kutzbach, Allie Brady, and Alexa Zappia. I'm your host, Bentley. Have a great weekend, and thanks for listening.